Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Show starts now.
Welcome to the Ryback Show. I'm your host of the big guy, Ryback. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. Streaming live on TikTok and Instagram, the big guy, Ryback22. Thank you to the guys watching on the live streams over there. We are live on Ryback TV on YouTube here. Super chats are greatly appreciated and brought up on the screen in between taking calls. We are live on Twitter at Ryback at X Twitter over there. We are also live on Twitch at Ryback Rules, the People's Podcast here on Twitter, X Spaces at Ryback. Guys, if you want to call into this show, health, fitness, supplementation, sports, pro wrestling, UFC, MMA, and anything and everything in between right here, guys, the People's Podcast, X Spaces at Ryback. Follow me, subscribe, check out the show. If you've got a question right here, is the place to be. This show is available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated. If you've got a moment to leave a star rating and write a review, it really helps me out, guys, on the audio platform, which we continue to have a nice, strong showing on the audio platform, being one of the most listened to wrestling podcasts available today. But we stream live on 5-6 different platforms before we hit the audio wave. So those iTunes reviews greatly help the cause, guys, over there on the audio chart. Subscribe to the audio if you can't catch the live Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Pacific time. Guys, is when I usually go live, anywhere in between on that. Guys, that's when you can subscribe on the audio and check it out anytime available. It usually comes out 20 to 30 minutes. They usually get that up. Sometimes a little longer, but usually 20 to 30 minutes after the live, it is on all the audio platforms. And hey, go give it a listen anyways, even just for a few minutes. Give us that audio listen too. It really helps out over there. This show is brought to you by Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors for all people, men and women, he, she, and thee on feedmemore.com. Save 15% signing up for my massive savings program on my email and text message newsletter program, guys. One email a week, one text message, no spam. We don't share your information. Get 15% off your next order just for signing up. And right now on feedmemore.com, giving you a free shaker bottle and bottle a tub of Finish It BCAA Electrolyte Matrix Raspberry Lemonade, 30 servings, guys. A $65 value, yours free, just for shopping, buying any supplement or merch on the feedmemore.com on that. But that massive savings program, guys, it really, really huge discounts go out with it. I'm telling you, it is well worth, you get free stuff just for placing your orders as you would normally You get huge discounts not made available to the public typically outside of once in a blue moon. I'll share it on here for you guys to get more people to sign up. But it's well worth it. Good to see all of you. We've got the new feeding time video out on Ryback TV as well. I've got another TikTok if you guys want to check out. Also here on Ryback TV, I have posted it as well. On WWE Superstar Expenses on the Road, and I found a real cool way of distributing different content on TikTok and YouTube that should be doing even better, but it is doing decent. On that TikTok, some of them have done very well on that. So thank you guys. Check those out and leave in the comments what type of videos you guys would like to see more. I think tomorrow's video is going to be my analysis of Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley in a shoot fight, an MMA fight, who would win. That's going to be tomorrow's video dropping on TikTok as well. All right, let's get going. Good to see you guys in here. We've got the big Samoan sausage in the chat. Big Shawnee in the house. Good to see everybody in here. My Twitter has been actually worse than ever. I am now averaging under 0.25% on the majority of my posts. Still well under 0.5% on the post, but a lot of them now are like staying at 1,000 or 2,000 impressions, which is the lowest they've ever been. And it's very disturbing with this. And I don't know what else. I just keep living my life, but I think anyone you can see when I post stuff and I just see, and I just look at everybody else that has nowhere near the following and I see their numbers and I just go, this doesn't make any sense. It's never made any sense. They continue to tell me I'm suppressed. I've not done anything. The account's just never been fixed, which is crazy because I've had some posts that randomly will do all right. But I'm telling you, I will routinely, the way that I do content can get hundreds of thousands and millions of views. Like I've done it. I've already done it. So I know what I'm doing with it. And they've taken that ability away from me. And it's very frustrating. And I always tell people at the very least, with all the hate that they've created, those people would constantly be swarming my post if they saw them. But instead, they see like dirt sheet posts and they swarm those posts, which is why all these guys continue to push out hate, because they get literally 20 times more views on me than they do on everybody else. Go look at a lot of these other things. Go look at the numbers with it and then go, that's weird. Why wouldn't those same haters go put that hate on the guy themselves? It's because they don't see it. And that's the most blatantly obvious observation I could point out to you guys on it, is that hate would be massively coming in, and it doesn't. Hardly anyone sees anything outside of a few platforms here and there that get going, but we're not going to stop. We keep going, and the truth is going to win. I already know it. I've been protected, and we're getting closer and closer. But I do am frustrated with Elon and Linda. I've reached out to Linda multiple times. Hey, Linda, can we have a conversation? Just ignore me. Not just, hey, can we talk? I just want, and that before did that, she ignored. And then I put some other things to try to get her attention. Can't get it. Never have insulted her or anything, but I literally want to know. I want answers with this. Your platform tells me I'm being suppressed, that I have a negative influence on Twitter. What's the negative influence? You've never given me one violation. Can you tell me why me of all people, yet I see people posting the most ridiculous things on Twitter with that, and they're getting hundreds of thousands, if not millions of impressions. How, like, very scary with the world that we currently live in. And, but I'm not going to stop. I want answers with this. And we're living in a place like with politics and with the presidential elections coming up. There's no doubt that our country is full of corruption. We are probably one of the most corrupt countries in the history of civilization. Like it is when I think we're more and more people are waking up to that with it, but it's not right. Like with this stuff, with what they're doing and hurting innocent people or trying to influence certain things. And I don't think Elon is the savior that he's trying to make himself out to be. I really don't. And I don't like the way they're handling. And at the very least, I don't like the way that he's handling things with it. I think they're also afraid of lawsuits and things, but I think they're not being transparent. And I also think he's full of it when he says certain things. And he go, we're gonna have shadow bans. If you're being suppressed, you're gonna know. We're gonna make that transparent. No, you're not. You haven't done anything. We're going on almost a year since you first mentioned that, And there's nothing with it. You've got all this illegal restrictive coding on your platform still with it. You guys are telling me I'm being suppressed. I've not done anything to be suppressed to begin with. It's now 7.5+ years. I've got a family and a business, and I'm not going to stop like with this. And most other people would not have kept going. And you're lucky that something worse has not happened with that, because a lot of people would have gone a horrible route with this and everything. And I had a lot to lose with this. And instead, I've turned it the other direction and made it work. But I'm very unhappy with this. And I want answers at some point in time, and I'm going to get them with it. But I can't tell you guys enough to keep tagging him. And just and again, don't insult. Talk to Ryback. Why aren't you talking to Ryback? Why are you not communicating with Ryback about his account? 7.5 years of being suppressed. Why won't you guys actually, why can't you tell me or talk to me? That's the concerning part, like with this. If everything was all right, but I already know, they told me I was restricted for 4+ years. Again, no violations. That was the old regime, though. Still, nobody will give me any other answers. Couldn't advertise that entire time. And now I'm being suppressed. They tell me I'm being suppressed. They've been telling me that. Again, they can't give me any answers. So the question is, who is the one pulling the trigger on all this, constantly keeping me in this state of not being seen consistently? That's what we have to ask with it. This isn't an exaggeration. Has cost me millions of dollars, millions, with what I've already built and what I was doing and the numbers I was pulling in prior when they took a lot of this away. So I'm not stopping with it. And because if it's happening to me, it's happening on other things. And that means the coding and that technology is being used in bad ways, which is why I think we need user agreements with this, that there should be no shadow ban technology, nor will these companies use it. There's no reason for it. And Elon's already admitted this, where they downgrade your post. If you have a link to another like platform, they literally suppress those tweets as well with that. So they have the coding and the technology to do this at any time they want with it. So this is the stuff, and I'm going to continue to point out, should not exist. Super chat coming in. Gabby Hirolu, thank you. Any good memories with Rowan and Strowman? Yeah, always got along with those two guys. Great. Braun, I didn't know as well. I worked with him there, did some tags, European tour. Always, it was very early on into his WWE run when he had the black sheep mask. And he was very easy to work with. He was very respectful. He listened. He knew he was in there with guys that had been doing this for a long time when we were doing a lot of the six-man tags. And he was like, me and him had quite a bit of interaction in the ring during all of those. And he, never once was there anything ever went wrong or anything. Rowan, me and him did quite a bit of live events together, singles matches and the tags. He's an incredible performer, very, very giving, kind individual, very soft spoken. I can tell you, he takes a hell of a vertical suplex stalling. He was able to hold, like with me holding him and him holding himself up, he has great control of his body. I would hold him up there for 30 seconds, sometimes even a little longer on the live events. People would just be in awe. I mean, he's enormous, tall and heavy, and he's able to balance his body. He's also incredibly flexible. I remember the first time I saw him in a UK gym, he was stretching and I was working out, and I just remember thinking like, whoa, he's really flexible with it. Just a hell of a performer. I think he is capable of so much more. And when he was there, and you know, they just never he could do a lot. But sometimes, like I tell you, people, when you're nice in this business, a lot of people can be nice, but if you've also got to have a little bit of a like, I'm gonna stand up for myself, and I just think sometimes that's difficult for a lot of people with that. And they take the job and they do exactly what is asked of them. And that's something he always has done. He's a professional with that as a physical actor with it, but he is capable of so much more if they ever would let him with that. And he has a hell of a look, and you know why they didn't keep him and try to use him more. They gave him the worst theme music in the history of the business when he was on the singles run. I dare anyone to try to argue with me. I had to go out to it once. Didn't elicit an emotion out of anybody in the entire arena. It was supposed to be my theme, and somebody messed up, and I go, oh, But I'm glad I got to experience it, because it just stresses the importance of theme music with it. And, you know, I love the guy. He's absolutely unbelievable, though. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Matt Riddle situation. I'm curious to see what comes out on that. I know he made an Instagram post and deleted it. I don't know, you know, the details of the incident. Clearly I wasn't there, nor any of us were, but you know, I did see that he said something about whether the TSA or the police there. I don't know. I just saw there was a possible, maybe they say disorderly person on the plane, or there was something. I'm just curious to see like what comes out. I don't want to speculate, but there clearly something had to have happened involving Matt Riddle at the airport. And then he made the comment about being assaulted in a naughty way, which I don't want to use the S word because we're on TikTok, so I don't know what's allowed and not allowed. But he was, in his words, he was assaulted in a naughty way, if you're following what the big guy's saying. And I don't know how that would be possible with that. But, you know, I thought at first it was like TSA going through security. And like, I just picture him like going with his flip-flops and his shorts through the TSA. And then he just got got a questionable individual. And they did like, we got to check the inside of your thighs, sir. It's something sent off the detection alarm on the body scanner. And then he got one of those guys that really started getting up. I've had it. They get in, they're like, well, what's that? And they're like, well, that's my deal. They're like, oh, and you're like, yeah. And then they go up even, they're just really getting in there, like massaging your taint. You're like, are you good? Like, this is, everyone's just looking and you're like, just like, what, you know, you get some real weirdos at the TSA, which you'd have to be to take that job. Like, yeah, I want to feel up people's bodies for a living. Like, and like, I'm a man, I want to go feel up other men. Like, no, you like that you have to want to go do that. That's not just like, oh, this is all I could get. Like, it's like the drug testers that have to go watch us pee and look at our nipples. Like, yeah, it's not like just like, oh, it's the only thing that was hiring, Jeff. I didn't want to do it, guys. And then, you know, you're just, you know, checking out dudes' peckers all day long. Like, you clearly, that's like something in you. Like, he was like, ooh, this looks appealing. And, you know, I want to go watch guys pee all day. I just don't see it any other way with it. Like, I loved wrestling, loved Disney. Oh, I want to go be a wrestler. You know, I think it applies to people that go and do jobs like that. So, but it wasn't the TSA. It was something, I think, with the police. And so I'm curious on what the naughty assault was, if it was how he was assaulted in a naughty way. Okay. All right, let's get going with today's show. Good to see all of you guys. We're going to kick it off with the Big Sausage. We're on TikTok, my man. Just clarifying. Hello, hello. Happy Tuesday.
It's the Big Sausage. What's going on?
Oh, man. How about those Jets?
Big guy. How's your Tuesday? First and foremost.
Oh, it's good, man. I up at 5 a.m. on the dot. I had to get Bree. She's picking up her car in L.A. today. So I had to.
Oh,
I had
awesome.
Yeah, I had to drive her to the airport early this morning, and then she's going to be on her way back to Vegas here later today. So,
how long of a drive is that, big guy?
Vegas to L.A. But from where I to my house to there. If you're like south by the Strip, it's like 3.5 hours. Granted, there's not like real bad traffic. Like on a Tuesday, there shouldn't be. But yeah. To my house, we're probably looked about a 4-hour drive.
Oh, that's not bad at
no.
all.
No. So
do you ever drive down there?
Like, yeah, yeah. My supplement manufacturer is down in Valencia. So I've been down there though numerous times. I'm due to take a vacation eventually. I'd like to take a nice weekend vacation, Shawnee, down there. And I might invite Bree even down there. I'd like to do Disneyland and just chips and salsa, alcohol, drinks, and in Disneyland and churros and just 2 days.
Just get away.
Just get away and you know, see what happens.
I agree. That's a great. I love that. I love like, when we go on vacation sometimes and, like, my wife will try to set up all these things. And I'm like, Nikki, please, like, we're going away to enjoy ourselves. We don't need to do 1,000 things when we're away.
Yeah.
You know?
Simplicity.
Yes.
I think, like, to me, going to a Mexican restaurant and just having drinks and chips and salsa and not doing anything all day would be the most relaxing thing in the world to me.
Yeah, and I have to say, my wife is good with that stuff, but sometimes she'll, like she'll be like, oh, let's do this and that. And I'm like, Nikki, we're here to rest, like, and to enjoy our time here. Like, let's enjoy it. Because sometimes you're, like, if you overbook your schedule, you end up being tired, more tired when you get home.
Because some people, like, are so concerned, they want to try to check off all these things just to say that they did it, rather than just do some things and enjoy it. And, like, I'm not a fan of that at all. They're like, they make a thing where they got to go do 10 things in the day, and you're like, you're stressed.
And you're
rushing.
I agree.
I literally, like, it's all about, like, but some people, like, it's like, just go do one or two things and, like, take your time and enjoy it and have a good time, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to, let's get to the Aaron Rodgers and the Jets last night. But the first thing I want to tell you before I forget. So you're talking about the Riddle and the TSA situation. and it reminded me of a story, right? So this year in January, I flew down to Orlando for the major pod event, right? And I am like, when I get on planes and stuff or anywhere that's tight seating, I get very self-conscious, like, to make sure that the person next to me is comfortable, and, like, I will make myself uncomfortable the whole time.
Like, what do you mean? Like, you don't want to, like, be touching them, or, like, you don't
want
to?
I don't want them to feel like, oh, this fat F is sitting next to me taking up room. So I literally, and since I have very big legs, I have to literally, like, keep my legs so tight.
Oh, the old ball squeezer.
Exactly. And I have to take my left. I always like to sit by the window because I feel like I don't go to the bathroom a lot. So it helps. Like, I would rather sit on the window. And what I do is, like, when my right, I have very wide shoulders.
Yeah.
And I will take my, like, left hand and, like
at an angle.
I'll put it on my right, like, elbow, and I'll keep my shoulder in the whole time. Because if I don't, my shoulder will be most likely hitting the person next to me, right?
You're entirely different than me on this, because I'm the same on the seat. I take it. If I'm there first, I've got the space. And if I get there, I've had it. But if I get there and the other person has the space, I'm like, oh, it's their space. And I sit at the angle. So I'm like a hybrid of you, but I'm more of a first come, first serve. I go, well, if I get there, I love the aisle seat. I'm getting my full, because I got to get hit by the damn tray the whole time anyways, too, with the broad shoulders. But
yeah, I spend more. I've been only flying first class now because I find that the first class seats are perfect for me. So I spend the extra money because, to me, the money is worth it just to be able to not be in discomfort the whole ride. So so let me tell you about the story. So another part of that, my insecurity, is a lot of people think big people smell, and I never smell. Like, I smell like smoke because I smoke cigarettes, but, like, I would never smell like a body odor. Never. You'll never ever smell me full of body odor.
Like, I smell like bod spray, black, and meat.
You smell like a high school gym locker. Bro, I don't know how I didn't throw up playing basketball. It was like sweat and axe. Like, it was disgusting. Oh, my God. So, anyway, I always am self-conscious about this. I make sure when I go on the plane, I'm not sweaty. I'm 100% smelling great. Like, I bring deodorant with me, everything.
You literally, do you deodorant up before you go on the plane?
Absolutely.
Where do you just go into the men's room and just put a quick little rub on?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you're really conscious of other to be to.
I'm very conscious because I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing worse, but brother. I've been in gyms where somebody comes in and like they just, I don't know if they don't believe in showers or deodorant, and like they stink up the entire section. Like, I've done it where I've had it happen before. I was so mad. One guy, it was like, and he was there, and it just like the whole section in the gym was crowded, and I couldn't get another machine. It was, I think it was like an elliptical, and like he left, and then like a hot chick came, and like I felt like the hot chick, she didn't know, And I just remember thinking, like, she might think it was me. It was really, I was just really angry at the guy. Like, how dare you? Like, just, I'm with you. I know it's bad.
It is. It's bad. And like, you never, especially being a bigger person, like we already have that against us. So it's like, why would you want to make them feel like they're right? Right. Like, I want to disprove that. I want people sitting next to me, what, like, be like, wow, he actually smelled great. Like,
yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I took a shower before I left. And while I'm taking a shower, there's a bunch of things that I do normally after a shower that I did, right? And I'll tell you after. So I go, I get dressed, I rush to the airport, I get on, I'm going through the security, and I go through, and all of a sudden, you don't hear a beep, but they're like, sir, step to the right, please. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I take everything out. I thought it was my headphones. So I put my headphones down. And they're like, sir, something came up on the machine. And we need to search you by hand or whatever. And it seems like you have a powdery substance on you, right?
So oh,
like,
no.
What? I'm like, what do you mean? So they show me the thing. And my crotch is all red, right? So I'm like, what the hell? So I realize, holy crap, I put baby powder on my nuts when I left.
Oh, no.
So, because I do it because obviously you sweat when you're walking and like, you know, whatever.
For the chafing.
Yeah, chafing, exactly. So I always powder my sack, right? So I'm like, hey, guys. I was like, I'll drop my pants right here. I'll let you see it, but it's baby powder, you know? So the guy's like, all right, I just have to pat you down or whatever. He literally, I'm not lying, he pat me down. He literally took his hand and, like, cuffed my D-I-C-K. And
yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I can't believe it. So long story short, it took me actually 40 minutes because I had powdered my sack before I left. So never do that if you're going to go on a plane. Never powder your sack.
That's crazy how much powder did you put on that thing? That's
even if you put a drop, big guy, it shows because they're looking for drugs. So what they do is they have they ever checked your hand and they have this machine where they check your hand.
They got to rub that little brush on it.
Exactly. It's for the drug residue. So when they see powder, they think, oh, there's drugs. Right. But like obviously.
I always get nervous when the dogs, they have the drug dogs walking around. Those dogs, I'm just hoping one of them doesn't have a tick and go crazy and like attack for no reason. Those things, like, cause I'm just like, I smell like meat. So I always just feel like the dog, they may get like a fault, like, oh, this guy smells really meaty and like just come right at me.
Oh my God. Ryback gets attacked by dog for smelling.
Yeah.
Like
I'm not worried about having any illegal drugs on me or anything. I'm worried because I smell like meat 24/7. That dog might, something in it just might cause it to just go rabid. just getting attacked by a drug dog in the airport.
I'm picturing a dog chasing you through the fucking
airport. Bro, and I love dogs, and I wouldn't want to have to try to, like, but I would have to fight for my life, those things.
Oh, my God.
Things would be trying to gnaw my arm off right away.
Oh, in the mind of a dog, and I'm sniffing, right? Like, imagine being a dog, and you're just sniffing, you're doing your job, and you just look up, and you see this big, meaty human that smells like meat, and then he's like, it's feeding time. So that was my ball check story that happened, and it is invasive. I have to say,
yeah,
I would rather them do that and keep us safe than not do it, right? So because you never know, the bombs are made with powder and things like that. Like, so it's just better to be safe, I guess, than to do it. And Riddle, listen. I smoke weed always before I get on a plane, and I'll look at the dog and be like, yeah, mother freaker, I'm high as hell right now. What are you gonna do about it?
I wonder if that had something to do with it. If something smoking or
maybe yeah. I will look the dog in the eye and be like, yeah, I'm high as hell right now.
I don't make any contact with the dog. I'm just literally just like, I just try to like, please keep going, please keep going, please keep going.
do you think other dogs look at that dog as a snitch?
I wonder. Yeah. He sold out. Sold out to the humans. Matt, what's that? There's a really good movie about a dog, a cop dog, with Bill. I think is it Bill Belushi? Belushi, Canine.
Let me check. Yeah,
I was a kid, I mean, it's an older movie. It was a dog movie. I think it's called Canine or something. Somebody will know. Is it Bill Belushi, the guy, the actor? Is somebody in
it's
the chat?
Canine movie.
It's about a canine. I thought it was called Canine or. If you type in Bill Belushi canine.
Oh, yes, you're right. James Belushi.
James Belushi, okay. You don't know the word. The hell I'm to Bill Belushi. Jesus, James Belushi. I'm just making up names for this. James Belushi, but canine is the name of the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Canine is the name of the movie.
Hell of a movie. Absolutely. If you ever haven't watched it, hell of a movie.
I'll check it out. It was made in the year I was born, 1989.
Yeah, I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Damn. Time flies.
Release date, April 28, 1989. It made $78.2 million.
I wonder how much that cost. That made some money then, because that probably didn't cost much to make.
100%. They definitely made money, for sure. But yeah, that's that. I got to check it out. I never heard of this. It says... Belushi plays bad-tempered San Diego police detective Michael Dooley, who has been tagged for execution by a major international drug dealer named Ken Lyman. To help K-9 Sergeant Brannigan, gives Dooley an unorthodox drug-sniffing police dog called Jerry Lee.
Yep.
The duo attempt to put Lyman behind bars, but Dooley quickly learns that Lee is a mischievous smart aleck who works only when he wants to.
Yes. Great movie about a man and a canine. I really, really liked that growing up. I would rent it multiple times from the theater. From the movie rental place, wherever we were.
Blockbuster
or Video Time. There were a bunch of them here we used to go to.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. There was like a Video Village. Video Time was really popular here. And then Blockbuster eventually took over.
Oh, got it. Did you ever see C-Spot Run?
I feel like I've heard of that. I don't know if I'd have to look.
David Arquette, where he's the postman. And then he takes care of the kid for a weekend because the mom that he's dating has to go away, and they have a dog or whatever, and it's so funny. It's like one of my favorite. Like
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, he does this. Yeah, Anthony, the guy who's like really famous now, Anthony. Between me and you, we're so bad with names.
But between us in the chat, we always will get it. We're doing a live show, though. It's hard to have, like, to be spot on everything.
No, you're right. You're right. 100%. I just, it's me, really. But Anthony, he's like a big, Anthony Anderson.
Okay.
He lost like a ton of weight, and now he's like a real famous actor with NBC. But he's in it, and he does this ET dance that I literally mastered it, and it's the funniest dance ever. I'm going to send it to you when we're done. But
hey, oh, by the way, what day did Val say he was going to come on last week?
Val said he was coming on yesterday.
And he did it again. What's the deal with Val?
I don't know. I guess
I followed him back too on here. I'm hoping we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You know what? I would just love to have a conversation with him and just find out more about him. Not about his wrestling, but about everything about, you know what?
Oh,
I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely. He's an interesting individual. Yeah. But he did tell us before. He told me that it's usually the weekend that he's more free. I think during the week he works. So I think unless he's just randomly off one day. So he's probably at the shop whenever he's joining in on YouTube, would be my guess, if that's because he's not able to come on. It's easy to open you can have the show open and be looking at the chat and keep the sound down.
Yeah, that's...
You know, or kind of low, but, you know, talking and stuff. I picture he's just at the shop and he's watching the Ryback show.
He's just in the chat
dropping hello biological ladies every 10 minutes. Yeah.
I I saw this a trailer. I happened to stumble upon this trailer. They were supposed to make, like 10 years ago, this production company was supposed to make a Steve Blackman Bales Bond show. So they put this trailer together with Steve Blackman being a Bales Bond, and they followed him around. And I was thinking, like, how did this not get made? Like, Steve Blackman is the man. Like, how did they not? They would have made a killing off that show if they did it.
I've got to meet him a few times. He's always been very, very nice. He's a very nice guy.
He's like one of the guys I would pick with that, like, if there was a zombie apocalypse, like to be with my army, like he would be like my first.
He's like a legit. I've heard stories like a legit, like really, really tough guy, right?
Yes. No, bro. He's like all about it. Like his karate and the UFC, like that's all real. It's not a shoot. It's not a work.
I liked him a lot when I was a kid.
Me too. Me too.
It's always crazy how guys like that, have like, how they don't push, even though he had a great career with it, but like how not a more dominant character, even though he had a very strong character, but he wasn't featured as much as some of the other guys, you know?
Yes. Yes, I agree. But he was part of that Al Snow.
And they all did great. But I mean, that it make you wonder, like, is the business always liked people like that were tough or had a background with that, like that. He had an incredible physique on it as well. Huge arms, Jack, great abs. And like, I don't, you know.
Yeah, he had the perfect body, you know.
Like, he looked like a pro wrestler with that. And I don't know what the, like, where you, I don't, it's just crazy how certain, like Haku, you always hear all the stories on Haku with it. And even though he had a great career, amazing. And he's respected by everybody. But like, he even didn't have like the most dominant career. Like you would think that that it'd be an easy role for him to play.
Yes, 1,000%.
But WCW had a bunch of guys like that where like they were in, but just everybody, and it's just the way things are. It's just physical acting at the end of the day.
For sure. Yeah,
but it's just like sometimes it's like characters. Why? And he played his character was very serious, but it just never. They could have done even more if they wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. And then you got guys like JBL that got beat up by Joey Styles.
I don't know. That brother, I've never heard anybody. JBL was always so nice to me.
I know.
But but he wasn't wrestling. He was a commentator when I was there with it.
Oh, I got you.
And like, I'd ask him like stock questions occasionally. Like, he was always really nice. Like, but what he would have to do on commentary, I always could tell when Vince was feeding him lines. He would take shots sometimes, and I know it was coming directly from Vince. With it. He was Vince's mouthpiece for when he was doing commentary with it.
Yeah.
He always picks one of the guys, and I always knew that. But he, like, when I would go talk to him, he was just like so nice and respectful. Like, never like would ever think, like, he just like, and I've been around him too. I told you, me and Daniel Pewter during Tough Enough had to take him back to his hotel when he was intoxicated.
Yes.
And if there was ever gonna be a time, we were two rookies, not on the main roster. If there was ever a time for him to pick on somebody, it could have been us. Like in that, like, because we were in no position and he didn't. Maybe it's just certain people that, you know, when you feel like it, I'm also a 300-pound gorilla. So, like, realistically, I do have to keep that in mind that maybe I'm not going to get people's worst behavior all the time.
Exactly. Like,
you know, but if I was Joey Styles in the back, he might be picked on me. I don't know.
Exactly. And that's a real thing, too, unfortunately, is like, you know, like they'll pick a certain. I'm not saying that JBL is a bully. I don't know. But I'm just saying bullies in general, they pick a certain person because they know that that person is not going to fight back.
No, definitely.
When they do, then it's like you did mess around and you did find out.
You pick on that person and they've been picked on their whole life and they finally hit their limit.
Oh my God, bro. They see red and like, and that's the people.
Yeah. That Joey Styles moment, that could have been the Joey Styles. That could have been his moment. Like, if that went down, like,
that was the moment of his life.
It was the last straw, and that was just with it. But
yeah, man, how about this Aaron Rodgers thing, man?
Bro, I just saw it came out. He fully torn Achilles, right?
Yep, they confirmed it. And you see it. I have a video my friend John sent me.
I've seen it.
It's like you see it pop.
In his calf, too.
In his calf. You see it. Like, you literally see the skin, like, move.
Through his sock, you see it, like, pop.
You see it, yes. Like, that is crazy. And he actually, I don't know if it's the same Achilles, but he tore his Achilles a couple of years back. So I don't know if it's the same one or not.
Wait, when did he tore his Achilles before?
Yeah, I'm like 90% positive. I maybe I'm crazy, but
I don't remember him ever missing. I that's why I was shocked. Since he started, has he ever missed any significant amount of time?
Yes, not significant, but he's missed a couple games. Yes.
Well, a couple games, but he's had, I mean, a really long career though.
Oh no. He's really durable.
Yeah, like, that's what I was really gonna say. Durable. He's not like, you know, because Brady was really durable, but he had that one season he had the knee injury where he missed most of the season, I think.
Do you remember that season where our backup got signed to the Seahawks? His name was Matt.
ACL, God. By the way, is someone saying Rodgers tore his ACL previously?
Oh, he tore his ACL. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. He ended up being out like almost the whole season. And this guy, the backup, I can't believe I can't remember this, but his backup ended up having like a sick season. Like, we went to the playoffs and everything, and he had like a crazy year, and he ended up getting signed by the Seahawks for like millions of dollars. And he ended up sucking, like, you know, like,
yeah,
terrible.
But then, man, the Jet, like, they everything, like, all the hype and everything, and like, this was that entire franchise, like, it was like Super Bowl, like, this was like a Super Bowl goal season. Like, that was the goal, like, get not just like the you're bringing him in to try to win a Super Bowl, like, with that.
It was Matt Flynn, big guy.
Okay.
The guy's name, yeah. Matt Flynn, yes.
You know, I will say, though, with the Jets, though, like, dude, I got in because I was finishing my cardio, and I got in at the game, and I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on? And, like, they kept putting shots of the crowd. I've never seen a more depressed fan base for, like, the first quarter of the first season, of opening season of game one, and, like, the score, like, nothing. It was just, like, everybody's hearts were just done. Like, and throughout the game, even when they were, like, back in the game, like, everybody was just dead. Like, it was just, like, then finally when they won at the end, like, that was an amazing game of the defense. And but Josh Allen played a horrible game, and they got lucky with that. But they, like, at the end of the day, though, they did win. So, like, and the Bills have very high expectations. The Bills have been a great team for a while now. So, like, that's a huge win regardless. But Zach Wilson, once again, I don't think he played great or anything. So
yeah, no, he didn't. And that catch by the kid, did you see that one-handed grab? He, like, hit it to himself and then, like, hit it again, like, while he was on the floor and then grabbed it. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yep.
One of the best catches I think I've ever seen, honestly.
Great catch. Insane. Yeah.
Because it hit his backhand, like it was a bad throw, and he, like, backhanded, he, like, slapped it so that when he was falling, he could grab it. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. But I what do you think? You think he comes back after this? This is like a career-ending injury.
Well, it's a tough injury. I know. There are people, their careers are done with it. It's all going to depend. Like, so one is, hopefully, that's why I said I hope he has a successful surgery and a speedy recovery. It's a long recovery process with Achilles, from everything I know. And, like, it's, you know, at his age and 39 going on 40 with it, I think he can come back from it? Absolutely. Now it's a matter of, like, is he going to take this as a sign, like, maybe it's time to wrap it up? And just, like, it's very possible. They were saying, like, it's going to be, like, it's kind of hard unless he comes right out and just says, like, look, I'm going to make this easy for everybody in the Jets, and, like, that way they can, like, look for the future. This isn't going to work. You know, I'm not coming back or whatever. Like, they're going to have to wait till the rehab process to see where his head's at. Like, because the rehab, it's one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult rehab to overcome. So you got to think, but, like, it's just, it depends which way he goes. He may get really motivated off of this and not want to go out this way, right? So
yeah, that's what
he may go, like, no, because all the haters and everybody, like, he goes, no, like, I'm not, I'm going to come back, and he could very well have 3-4 great seasons if he can come back from it. You know,
so it just shows you how the body works, big guy, because he was having calf issues.
Yeah.
And you know, when one part of your body has issues, it affects other parts of your body.
Yeah.
What people, like, look at you and your shoulder, right? Like, did you have any other complications because of your shoulder? You had to have it, right?
All the scar tissue that built up from my body trying to protect itself.
Yeah.
Like, my tricep atrophied. I had to, like, that's where I've had to break up a lot of scar tissue in my tricep that connects into the shoulder joint.
Got it.
That
so like it, just like that, like yeah. How it spread, like how it affects not just the injured part of your body, but
that, other parts. That's why I'm trying to get right, because that's the kind of thing where, like, you could, if my shoulder, you're not functioning properly, something else can go.
Yes,
with absolutely that, right. And that's where, you know. So it's just, and it's just, the body is a complex thing with that, but he strained that calf early in training camp, and he probably just, you know, they treated it, but he still did the training camp, and he's still putting all the weight on it probably and practicing. He's not, because you got to get the timing with your players. So all that time, even though he might feel like he's okay. Too, another thing, which a lot of people do, this is what happened with me in wrestling, they give you cortisone or something to mask the pain.
Yes.
And this is something that, or they give you some sort of pain pill or Toradol, and that's the problem with that. So that stuff covers your pain, so you think you're okay. So if he wasn't taking that stuff, and I don't know for sure if he wasn't, but if he wasn't, he would feel where he had pain, and he wouldn't be able to probably train or practice as hard or like normal. But if they give you that stuff, you could literally go through like everything's okay. And what you're doing is then he's putting stress on his Achilles or the different parts of his body, other areas. And that could be, or it could just be he had that and he healed, and it's just a freak accident also.
Yeah, like, He barely got touched.
But you see, you know? If they did a slow-mo, you see where his thing gets stretched. Where,
yes, you see, because the foot is on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where it just takes the perfect, because if your foot like gets stuck in place on that, and it should, it just needed to slide and everything would have been all right, but it got stuck in the ground on that turf, and then it fully stretched that Achilles out and just popped it off.
Which I have to say, as an athlete, big guy, I've always hated turf.
Really?
I've always hated turf. If it's 100 degrees, the turf burns you.
Mm-hmm.
It stays hot. Those black balls that are in the turf, they always get in your shoes and on your body.
Yeah.
I played soccer on turf for a long time. And soccer was the only sport I found it okay for. But baseball, I hate it on turf.
Yeah.
The way the ground balls come flying at you, like,
oh yeah,
it's just not natural.
It's not, not yeah, natural. It's a different, I know exactly what you're talking about on that. I actually got to play, in our high school football, I had my Al Bundy poke high moment against Bishop Gorman High School with the Western Warriors. I scored 4 touchdowns in 1 game.
Wow.
3 is a half run, the running back, the starting halfback, and then won a fumble recovery and ran it in for a score. So
wow, I was freaking awesome.
Yeah, against Bishop Gorman High School at the old UNLV Sam Boyd Stadium, 4 touchdowns in 1 game. I peaked. I think that was my sophomore junior season. I think it was junior year. Yeah, it was.
That's amazing, bro.
Put me at the Hall of Fame. That was good.
Fast, like I was watching like the highlights of you, and like I was like, wow, he moves fast for a big dude. Like, you're not just big, like you're.
Oh, thank
you.
No, I've been an athlete my whole life, but my ankle injury greatly impacted things. And when I broke my ankle in WWE and the nerve damage, I still can run really fast though. And if my balance, like I used to be able to stand on the top ropes and squat on the ropes and like walk on them, and like now my first Deep South wrestle, I'm telling you, like. But after that ankle injury, like I used to do springboard stuff, and like then after that, I just stopped. I'm like, it's not worth it. Like,
yes. Once you injure something,
because my balance ain't right on it. I don't have the full balance back, so my foot wobbles on the ropes, like on my left foot. It's like it's a weird thing because I have that nerve damage still. But I'm fully functional pretty much. I know, like I don't do, like when I do my splash off the top rope, I keep my left foot, I keep my right foot on the springy part, and then. I move my leg, keep my left foot on the back where it's like on a bar, and then I shift it last second so that I don't have to try to balance myself too long on there because my left foot might wobble a little.
So I see. So it doesn't give or something.
I just found ways around it, like on where, and it's like, yeah. But
yeah. That's awesome, big guy. That's
but it's a hell of a blow though for the Jets though. They were saying on other shows they're gonna reach out to Tom Brady. Like just
yeah, somebody tagged us in a post right now. I just saw it. They big actually did it, and it said that Kaepernick has reached out to the Jets. It says.
Why hasn't that guy hasn't been he has is he like blackballed from the league?
Yeah, so I guess after all he wasn't black, he was for a little bit, but then they brought him in and he tried out for a bunch of teams and I guess it, you know, he just didn't fit the team's play.
I wonder if he was because he was out for many years here, kind or out for a significant amount of time.
Well, yeah.
Where he like hasn't like because if, you know if you're gone for too long in that if he hasn't been staying sharp maybe he's not the same as he was. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know like his case now, but I know that like teams didn't sign him because of the Black Lives Matter stuff. It wasn't because of that. It was because of his play. Like he actually like he had like a couple of great seasons. And then he just went downhill, throwing a lot of interceptions. And, you know, he doesn't fit a lot of teams' plans, you know, like because he's mostly a run first quarterback. So, man, it's just amazing. Like I read somewhere now there's 14 starting black quarterbacks in the league. I think that's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Know? Yeah.
But people don't give Warren Moon the credit. He was the first black.
Bro, I loved Warren Moon. I loved Warren Moon. Randall Cunningham was from UNLV here.
Randall Cunningham, yes.
He's the only player from UNLV history, I think, to make it in the NFL and have like a, others have made it, but nobody ever known. Like
he went to UNLV.
Yeah, Wow. He's the most famous UNLV Rebel, running Rebel football player that had a successful NFL career.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I would rock. If I was from Vegas, I would get that old school Randall Cunningham jersey. Those, I even though I hate the Vikings, I do like some of the purple jerseys.
I had the Philly. I had the Philadelphia Eagles starter jacket. That was, I told you.
Oh, yes.
I had that starter's jacket. A lot of people went with the Hornets or the different ones. I went with the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a green and black with a little white. It was a sweet starter jacket.
I know exactly what you're talking. I know. I can picture it in my head right now.
Oh, I had that. That thing was perfect.
They used to have the pouch in the front.
I love the pouch. The nice little hand pockets in the front too.
Yes.
Did the hand pockets have like a little bit of the warm lining in there? The lining
they did,
kept your hands a little warmer in the cold. It wasn't just the cloth lining.
Yeah, as an athlete, when we played in cold games, I always kept my hands in my nuts.
Yeah.
You know? That was my trick. You know what I mean? It could be like -5 and your nuts will be warm.
Yeah, that's bro. I've been in some cold weather before, man. Canada, I think too. Canada, I've been in where it was negative. I think it was just under negative whatever, zero. It was like it was the coldest I've ever. And I was all covered up, though. I was fine. But I go, man, this is insane. We were there for a show. It was it was always crazy driving through Canada.
It's a different type of cold, right?
Yeah.
It's like nothing you've ever felt.
It's just great. When you're on the road full time, you can go. Like, Vegas, the weather's always pretty damn good. So, like, I would go from being home, like, even though I'm not home a lot, but I'd be, like, nice weather at home. And then you're, like, going to, like, just traveling the world, essentially, to, like, weather that could just – that varies so greatly. With it, but like I remember just going from here to like Canada, and just like you got to remember to like you got to dress for where you're going, not where you're at.
100% on that,
like there've been times that a couple times I forgot a couple things where it was like I was like, oh damn,
and like, I gotta go to Walmart or something. Yeah,
I had that. I actually had to do that once. I lost something happened. I had to go to Walmart and grab a couple T-shirts, and I remember I still have them. I got two Spider-Man and another like just like tight fit shirt. I think I needed something just to go out the night after the show. And it was like, so I found like a tight fitting Spider-Man shirt that you could wear with a pair of jeans. And that, like, I was like, oh, this works. Cause that was the only place right by the arena. And I made it work. Nobody said anything negative about it. So
what are they going to say? Hey, you look muscular.
Look at that big meathead in that spider. Look at that Spider-Man mark.
I think you should have seen Linda from XX and give her the sausage. I think that's why she's not answering you, big guy. I think she knows that.
I'm just going to start posting shirtless photos and tagging Linda in them. and seeing if I can get Linda's attention.
Honestly, maybe we can do it together. Maybe.
Hey, we're going to have to start to just find anything to get her attention. I just need that meeting. If it means I've got to date her, I'll do whatever I got to do to get this social media fixed. Whatever it takes. I'll take, hell, I'll date Elon if that's what it takes at this point. I'll date Elon for a few months if I've got it to get this work to work. Just fix my account, please. I'll take it. Let's take a call here with you on Shawnee if you want, unless you have something to do.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Let's we'll get the DeLorean. He had a question for you yesterday. I know he missed. Hello, hello.
Hey, what's up, Ryback? How you doing, big man?
Doing well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. What's up, the big saucy?
What's up, kid?
Hey, was that true, man? About you putting powder on your nuts?
Absolutely, I put powder on my nuts every day.
Oh, every day?
Every day, man.
Oh, I thought it was just on special occasions.
Only time I powder my nuts is when I know I'm gonna be in sexual relations with my wife. That's the only time I don't do it.
What? So let me. Do you just take the? I've never had to ever do that. You just put the powder in your hands, or how does it work? You put it down your.
Yeah. So after I get out this shower, it's not just regular baby powder. I get the lavender scented baby powder. Okay.
Good choice.
So I get out the shower. I dry myself off. I put my legs on one leg on the toilet bowl seat when it's closed, and I take a handful of lavender powder and I just start patting around my balls and my cooch.
Do you have powder like all over your bathroom? If I were to do that, I'd have powder everywhere.
No, because I keep the towel down, big guy.
Towel gets the residue, and then
yes, and then I throw the towel in the washer.
You have to do like a little shimmy, shimmy, shake to make sure any other powder falls off too. Before or what?
I keep the bowl shaking the whole time.
This is
because if you don't shake them, there's some crevices that you're gonna miss.
That's what, So that kind of distributes the powder evenly across the ball sack.
Yeah, they just keep swinging left to right, up and down.
Now, Shawnee, be honest, Shawnee.
I'm always honest. Go ahead.
That bathing suit picture. Did you have powder on then?
I actually didn't. That was actually a quick. I ran there because when I did that picture, it was the day of, and I wasn't even planning to take that picture. But when Matt posted him himself in the Speedo, I was like, oh my god, if I recreate this picture, it's gonna go viral. And I needed a photographer, and my friend's wife was only off for that day, so I had to drive 45 minutes.
Oh my god.
And pick up a Speedo that was 3X, which is hard to find. And I ran and I took the picture and that's it. And it went history. And actually, when Zach shared it at first, Big Guy shared it way before he even knew me.
That was the beginning of our friendship.
No, that was even before Big Guy.
No, before we even knew it though. That was the first.
Exactly. Yeah, and I didn't start listening to the show for like almost a year after.
Yeah.
So that was last year.
Wow.
So yeah.
I was gonna ask you where the hell you found a Speedo, like just randomly, not even like a big, just like they don't just sell those. I don't even know where. Like if I was like, oh, I want to go get a Speedo, I wouldn't even know where to go in Vegas right now.
Yeah, there was like there's like a men's store over here that I got it from.
I would just order it on Amazon, but you needed it that day, right?
I needed it that day. I did. I ended up ordering a second one from Amazon. This one, my ass crack was hanging out the whole time. So if you see the back of the picture, you would think I was a plumber.
I actually now think if you were with me, we have the cutoff shirt with the Speedo. With that exact Speedo is what you would wear to the ring, with a pair of the cutoff shirt with the stains and the sausage on it, the Speedo and a pair of Lugs boots.
Hey, Shawnee, you're walking
to some mark and let them sniff it.
That's why you can sell those after. Keep them. Comes with a baby lavender baby powder scent.
Yeah, I got it. What happened? Sorry, bro.
No, you're good. You're a walking meme, dude. I swear to God.
Thanks, man. I think I'm more than that, but I appreciate the
No, you're definitely more than that, but that's one of your biggest
What is a walking meme? Does that mean like you create a lot of funny moments, essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. It means basically everything you do, you can make a joke off of it that'll
Oh, yeah. Most things, yes.
Yeah.
Like, some people try to tell me that, like, with my chip video as an insult, like, they go, oh, bro's a meme and doesn't even know it, or bro's a meme, bro, yeah, like, they do, like, and I'm just like, I don't know how to, I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't, like, they go, everybody, if you're famous, is a meme, like, it's not, it's, people are gonna make content of you if people know who you are, regardless, but, like.
Yeah, yep, it's right.
Do you have a question, Endalorian, yesterday that you wanted?
Yeah, I did have a question for you, Shawnee. So, okay, what is your favorite submission move? Not those kind. Wrestling kind.
My favorite submission move would have to be the crippler crossface. That was my favorite. I know.
Really?
Yeah, I know, obviously, you know, what happened with Benoit, but I loved Benoit as a wrestler.
This isn't WWE. We don't have to say we could just like Benoit on here. We don't have to. He was a hell of a wrestler. Like I'm not gonna praise any, but like he was a hell of a. He was one of my favorites.
He was a hell of a wrestler.
Yeah,
man.
Hell of an athlete. Yeah.
The crippler crossface was like you knew once it was in, and he made it look so real, and like the way he would put the arm in between the legs, and I remember thinking like, oh my god, that's one move I never ever would want to take, and that's why I loved it so much. So that is my favorite.
Yeah,
most people would probably pick like you know Bret the Sharpshooter and things like that, but
yeah, that's
even the Walls of Jericho I love.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I used to put my sister in that all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, like, I would always like when we were wrestling with my friends, I'd be like, "I'm putting you in the Walls of Jericho," because that was like the cool thing, you know, Y2J, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a great question.
What about you, big guy? You got a favorite submission move that you?
The Gorilla Clutch, which is the one I will use. Rhea Ripley does it also now. Somebody gave it to her,
but yeah.
I did it on the Indies for a bit. It's that reverse leg hold.
Really?
Rhea does it. I don't know what Rhea, does she call it Riptide? I don't know if that is that her finisher.
No, that's her finisher. I don't know what she calls it. I think they call it, isn't it like it's something like the triangle hold or something?
Yeah, but it's like essentially it's the same move. That's the Gorilla Clutch. I love that submission.
I know what move you're talking about though, but
yeah.
If you know, like when
but
you
But watching you, I love the Sharpshooter. I honestly Sting and Bret Hart Sharpshooter I loved. I always loved the figure four. I used to put that on my friends all the time when we were fighting.
Figure four is a good one.
And then they would try to, if you reverse it and get them over, I would let them put it on me, then I would reverse it because I was stronger than them. And I'd put the pressure back on them. I was like, ha ha, I tricked you. It was so.
Ha ha, I tricked you.
No, my favorite, I always used to do this on my friends, and I, at first, because it was Mankind's move, the mandible claw, dude, and people thought I was nasty for sticking my hands down their freaking damn near their throats, and I was like, when I did it, I was like, take it like a man.
Do you know Bray actually called Mick and asked permission to use that
one?
Oh,
I did, yeah, I know. That's
because that's what good people do.
Exactly.
A lot of people just take moves on the roster and do them, and like if people are still there, like that just shows you what kind of person he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people were asking Mick, dude, like, are you sure you're okay with this? And he said, and I quote, "I'm absolutely honored to have Bray do that." And I mean, it was awesome.
He brought
it back in style, dude. Like I was like, because I never actually got to watch Mankind. I'm only 21, dude. I never even got to watch Mankind once or any persona of Mick Foley. But I've watched clips and stuff, and I'm like, that's kind of nasty, though. You know, the homie just put a sock down his throat.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You gotta know where that thing is, but.
Yeah.
No, good deal. Brother, thank you as always. We're going to take another caller here. And,
absolutely, man. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. Much love, man. Hey,
thanks,
see you later, Big Sausage.
Later, my brother.
Take care,
yes,
buddy.
Sir.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Good deal. Thank you. Do you want to take one more, Shawnee?
Yeah. Go ahead. Let's do it.
I think we've got a new caller here, JG.
Oh, JG, that's Jay George. He's one of the independent wrestlers that wrestles for Cap with Brian Myers.
Oh, good deal. Hello, hello. Yeah, welcome to the Ryback Show.
Man. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
JG.
You just got to hit that the speaker button on the bottom left, the mic. There we go.
Wait, what? What's going on here? Wait a second. I was just listening, man. I was just.
Oh, you didn't want to be on the show?
I'm spectating sport. I'll hop on for a second. What's going on, guys?
Oh, how you doing, JG?
Are you smoking right now?
Johnny, did you get me? Johnny, did you just throw me under the bus here, brother? What's going on?
I didn't throw you.
You had to. You must have hit the request to speak tonight. Button because I can't. It showed that you had requested to come on the show.
Holy cow!
This is a movie written and directed by Jay George.
That's right, baby.
Well, I don't want to, Jay. I don't want to put you on the spot or anything. I won't keep you on, George. Just let you keep listening. I don't want to. Don't want to, if you don't have any questions or anything.
No, I mean, you know, just I always enjoy, always love hearing you and Shawnee interact. And I'm working on a vlog from the last live show we did at the Major Pod, and Shawnee's all over it.
Good deal.
Oh, man, I can't wait, JG.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
Have a great day, brother.
Hey, no doubt. You guys have a good week.
Later, man. You too.
Is that Jay George in his image too on his page?
Yes, yes. His gimmick is awesome. He's like a director, and he makes like these movies, and like he does like the Jay George Open Challenge, and it's awesome. Like he has like random people will come out and wrestle him at the shows, and he does like filmography. So like he'll have a whole film leading up to the match, and it's really all. He's very, very good, man. I can't
good
wait
deal.
Until. Yeah, I can't wait until. He, you know, he's on the indies, but I can't wait until people see more people.
More
see
exposure. Absolutely. That's where everyone, exactly. That's where you start. Yeah. That's how it happens.
Yep. 100%.
We got Jason H, a new caller here. Get Jason on the show. Jason, welcome to the Ryback Show. Just got to hit that mic on the bottom left, Jason. Take a look at his account. He just joined. This looks like Jason Huber.
Jason.
This is probably the stalker, and he desperately wants to come on, and he doesn't. Now he's like on, and he's trembling, and he's deciding what color rig to throw on before he's trying to get the sound clip ready to come on.
Yo, what up? What up?
Oh, are you a real person?
Yeah, it's me, man. I've been on before, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can never know. You did, look.
Oh, yeah. I'm driving, bro. Sorry, I thought the mic was on. I don't know.
Oh no, you never know with the stalker. He's. I thought he was trying to decide what color wig to put on before he came on.
Yeah. Nah. The mic just clicks off when you hit me on or something. I don't know.
That's weird. What's up, Jay? What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, man. So I didn't really talk. Y'all talked about who's the next one to step up behind Roman. And dude, what's up, dude? Gunther. He's obviously the clear one, man. He's undefeated. No one's beaten him. Roman's undefeated. You know that's going to come down to a undefeated who's going to win, you know, type shit. stuff.
Yeah, I think Gunther, I think there's a lot still to character development that needs to take place. The undefeated thing is not that, that, you know, you got to survive the test of what do you do with him once he's defeated, in which he then, so now what needs to happen is he's going to have to start having character development in different layers to his personality, which is yet to be done. He's played a very one-dimensional character to this point with that and done it exceptionally well, right? With it. So there's a lot that has to go on before he could become a complete superstar in that. He's doing absolutely fantastic though. It just all depends on what they on from a character standpoint and what they have in mind with everything. I love him and the Imperium with that. I think him and Roman is a great showdown if they ever did decide to do it. I think there's other things going on though, so I don't know. Like they may have somebody defeat him. You know, I still think you could do something where somebody, you know, they can do like this is an Ultimate Warrior, not like with Honky Tonk Man, you know, catching him off guard sort of thing, and you could still have him come back and be in the main event and start his main event push. I don't know though with it, or just have him have a, he can drop the title to Gable eventually and then be involved and get ready to go to a program. But a Gable, I think there's a real opportunity to do something with if they wanted to. So
What about Cody and Roman? Like, what?
Yeah, but the way they built up Cody is the way they built up Gunther is to, like, he's unstoppable. Like, look at how he comes out to the ring. I mean, he comes out like, come on, how does he come out to the ring?
Chill?
Like, this dude's a badass.
His chops, like
the way he comes out to the ring, he just his demeanor, just his music, everything.
The music is very fitting. It's very they've got a good vibe to them with that.
Absolutely, man.
But you're right.
I think that's better than losing to like Gable. I like Gable. I don't like that direction.
What the guy's saying with his character, like, there's not really much there, right? Like you know, like, there's
he's a great bad guy. Like, he's perfect. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got role.
But those roles are not, you got to have various layers to you, though, to be more of, I'm talking like, if we're talking like you're saying the next Roman Reigns or that, to be like, you're looking for a certain type of character overall that can take time and development.
I don't think what they're going to do when Roman loses is do another Roman thing. You know what I'm saying? Another 3-year thing.
Oh no, this is not going to be done for a very long time again.
No, but what I'm saying is when he loses, they're not going to do another 3-year run with another wrestler.
They do like to typically have a guy that they keep in their top babyface spot.
Right.
You know, if LA Knight, if he can stay hot and keep going, I could see him being the face a lot of things need to go right for that to happen. If he signs a new deal, they could use him, you know, for the next 3, 4, 5 years in that spot if they wanted to. A lot would have to go on. Cody's obviously in that discussion if they want that. Like, Cody's ready. Cody has the experience. Cody can handle that if they wanted. So it's just there's various directions they can go. Seth, we have to see what's going to be going on with his back and his injuries, where he's at physically. But they're going to have there's a lot of guys that are – they've lost guys. And, you know, obviously the Bray, you know, the untimely passing of that, you know, the reality of the situation, his brand is gone, right? Randy, we don't know. Orton, we don't know what the future holds with him yet. With everything and everybody else, Roman, you know, these guys are towards the end, the later half of their career now. Right. With that, like, they all had an amazing hell of a run. McIntyre, Sheamus, these are guys that aren't going to be around forever. With that, they've already had a hell of a run, so they could still be around for a good period of time. But I don't know what, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they get Bron Breakker on the roster eventually and get him up and running. I think that's something that we're going to be seeing at some point in time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so, man, he's young, you know. Yeah, for sure.
So I don't – but other than that, man, they do have a real – like, as far as – they definitely have to be aware of, like, everybody's age. Finn Balor's up there. You know, Edge is probably going to AEW. There's going to be more guys that go to AEW, too, in this. And that's – I think the fact that guys aren't re-signing contracts right away, which is – before, guys, when we were there, you'd usually, if they wanted you to re-sign a contract, you would. Right away, because you know you don't want them to mess. You don't want to start having them bury you with it. Now what we're seeing is guys are kind of holding out now And I think because they know, they go, wait, we can go somewhere else in a better environment and make more money, possibly. Right. And like, so WWE now has to, if it's one guy and they punish him, but if everybody's doing it, they've got to handle the situation better, which makes me happy to see that, that more people are kind of holding off on re-signing deals right away.
So let me ask you something. So do you think Tony Khan was a little overboard when he said about CM Punk's comments about that backstage incident recently, about he feared for his life in all the years that he's been in wrestling, he feared for his life? Don't you think as a promoter that you would be used to that type of like atmosphere? You know,
he hasn't been a promoter all his life. He's only been a promoter for a few years. But you also, though, we not one of us, so
his entire life.
But none of us were there, first of all, so we don't know what happened with him. And they had private conversations.
Say you feared for your life is a little extreme.
No, it's not. Not if you're dealing with somebody that's completely unhinged and lost their mind. That, like, yeah, have you ever had a grown man with MMA training screaming and yelling at you and probably saying some pretty bad things? Tony's not a fighter with that. Tony's not an athlete. He's never been an athlete with that. But also, just from another standpoint, from a legal standpoint, that was probably the smartest thing. He was probably advised to do that.
I was just going to say that.
No, okay, yeah. Maybe that, but maybe not him doing it, though. The way he came on camera, I just think the way he approached it, if you look at the views off that program, he lost so many viewers after that collision happened. You might as well call it Rampage.
I think they said they lost 90,000, and that was the Eric Bischoff talked about that as well. There's other factors in the lead into what came in before the show. Viewers turn out after that first segment. Typically, there are some things that happen normally with that first segment from people that continued watching from the prior show, with all of that goes in. But I mean, it's not our company, not my business on that. I think, though, if he was advised to go do that, a lot of people, though, get mad if people aren't transparent and don't get information. But you've got a guy who's being transparent and giving you guys information directly with it. Like, I mean, I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, but I just think he should have said it differently.
How would you want him to say it differently?
To say that, you know, under these circumstances, you know, there was a terrible incident. Don't get down to detail.
But what about if he really did fear for his life, though, and he's just being honest?
Don't approach that with the fans, though, because look what happened.
I mean, he doesn't, but he's being being honest with you. This is the deal. A lot of you guys can't handle the truth. So it's like when people tell you the truth, you get mad. And then years later, then you're like, oh, man, he was being straight with us. Do you want people to lie and be dishonest, or do you want them to be shooting straight from the hip? Shoot from the hip.
No, I just think the approach should have been just a little bit different.
How many fights do you think Tony's been in his life? How many times?
None.
I'm just saying, how many times?
I think that what you're doing, I feel like you listen to other people that are just whining about it, and then you're kind of regurgitating it.
Right. No.
Right. No, but like straight up, that's what you read somebody and they put that because they don't like AEW or Tony. So they kind of shit on it. And then you like fans then regurgitate that same thing they heard. Like, we don't know what happened between him and Punk. He was a huge fan of Punk's. Nothing was probably harder on that guy than having to fire him. Somebody that he's a fan of the business.
Yeah.
With it. All I know is the guy is he's a fan of wrestling. He loves wrestling, and he's trying to give wrestlers a better work environment than the alternative with that, right? So, like, in my opinion, why are we hating on that? Because we know what the other person has done and what they're doing.
I'm just trying to think of, like, do you think that this could have been, prevented before this? Because this happened not too long ago, right? Then there was an incident before this, when he got suspended or something, right? Like, don't you think that, I would have went at him personally and just grabbed him by the, shirt and be like, this happens fucking, like,
You wanted Tony to go up to Punk and grab him by the shirt and cuss at him?
Just have more, not be more friends with them. You know what I'm saying? Kind of be more.
We don't. But how do you know that? All you're going by is what you're listening to from Dirt Sheets, who are routinely wrong and just trying to create drama and controversy for the men and women who love this and do this. We don't know.
I think I know what he means, though. Like
I don't think he's hanging around like you guys think. I think the guy's running the businesses, multiple businesses. I think you guys think he's like out partying with these guys, which, by the way, Vince used to party with all the talent all the time back early in the day and hang out with them more. We don't know Tony. I have not heard anything about Tony like hanging out and partying with people all the time. I know they've had certain functions where he's there with the talent and whatnot. I know the only thing you could say, he has the EVPs with the Young Bucks and Omega that are wrestlers. That is debatable if that is a good move to continue to keep wrestlers in office positions. That, I think, is something that whether it's one or the other, I think could be beneficial overall making a decision on that from that standpoint, now that the company's not new anymore, I do think that that is something that could maybe be adjusted over time with that. But I don't think he's like, I don't think he's like just this buddy guy with everybody, like a lot of people think. Like, as far as, I think he's a businessman still, but I think a lot of things, the dirt sheets just create a lot of controversy and create things, problems, so that you fans then like get the drama going and then turn something that's not really there into something. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really there though. So all you're going by is what you're hearing from these people, and these sources are, their whole job is they have chosen to create drama and controversy on the thing they weren't good enough to go and do.
Right.
And that's the truth of it. I'm trying to get this across. But like, I'm not saying like, it's just, you're not there though. So like, you're choosing to have these strong feelings on something you really don't know about, rather than just choosing, like me, I just choose to look at it in a good way. He handled his business and he's moving forward, rather than like, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. Because all you're doing is taking something that doesn't impact your life at all and causing you to be frustrated in your real life. And you're not even involved in it.
I'm saying
these people that do this, like, these thoughts aren't just your thoughts. These are things that you have had put in your head by dirt sheet people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So has anything like that, consistently all the time, has that happened in WWE where there was always feuds and a back fight?
Oh, stuff happens all the time. People have disagreement. You're talking about it. So first of all,
like more than disagree, like a fist, like what happened there? Like a huge
altercations and things happen, but stuff doesn't, like, there's always stuff that's going on. Not saying like that to that degree or whatnot, but like me and Punk, I've had many things with him where things, and I said some pretty harsh things to that guy with him because it shut him down with it, that never got out with it and stuff. Right. But people, there's somebody there. The biggest concern, I think, is somebody in that company is leaking stuff out. That is probably the biggest red flag of the whole thing. 100%. I suspect it could be multiple people.
The point is, he did get fired, and you just said also that it never got to that degree in WWE, which means there was more.
But it very well could have with other guys. I can't be everywhere at all times.
Either. No, just in your experience.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like that. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened directly on this one because I wasn't there, and I haven't.
He did get fired. So obviously something
happened. Yeah, no, clearly something happened with it, but causing problems. But I can tell you, he caused a lot of problems in WWE as well.
Yeah,
I've seen him do things and treat people in horrible ways with it. So I just think that, again, Tony was a fan of his and brought him in for a reason. The guy does move merch, though. He is talented. There's no denying that. Like with it, but with him comes a lot of baggage. With it, and I think that Tony finally realized and was advised, this guy it's not worth disrupting the locker room any more than it has. And I put the video out on TikTok. Jungle Boy is, as far as we know, Jungle Boy, who's been a pillar of AEW from the beginning, he was involved in no incidents that we know of up until this point, right? Then all of a sudden, Punk, who Punk was with prior and had did a thing on TV with, and all of a sudden he's Punk's number one worst enemy with that. I've seen that's how Punk is. He'll just turn on people like that, like in a heartbeat with whatever, for whatever reason. And all these things start getting on online and whatnot. But Jungle Boy, I've met him at WrestleCon. He was very kind and very respectful. He seemed very soft spoken. He didn't seem like a guy that would be like a shit disturber, a problem, you know, guy that's causing problems with it. So I found it very, I just know how Punk is. And he just gets really weird over certain things with it. And I just think they did the best thing that they could and get rid of him. And I think from a legal standpoint, I think Tony, whether it happened and he was being honest or he was advised to just go out there or he wanted to be the one to go and communicate it being in Chicago, he was a man. He goes, you know what? I made this decision. I'm not going to, because I can promise you, if he had somebody else go out and say what he said, you guys would be then complaining that he wasn't man enough to come and tell you guys in person. I promise you that would have been your question to me. Because the dirt sheet people would have just went with that drama instead. This is what they do. But he just decided, he goes, I'm going to go out and face the music, and I'm going to tell you guys straight up what happened. And that was that with it. So I just think, I do think they're going to have issues and get some certain things lined up. But like, I'm pulling for them as a wrestler and as wrestling fans. I think we should all be pulling for them to just keep learning from the mistakes and getting better, because it's making wrestling better overall. More wrestlers are making more money, having another option to go work outside of WWE, and it's going to force WWE to make more positive changes if more people keep going over there. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm really passionate about this. I love wrestling, and I don't like seeing when people like, because the dirt sheet people, AEW, it's not AEW versus WWE. Like, brother, like, this is just good to have options and more places for people to work. And like, certain product, you know, they have a little bit of a different product than WWE, and it gives you guys options, you know. And but I think he's handling it to the best of his ability. Like, you know, the guy's got a lot going on, clearly, and I don't think it was an easy decision for him by any means.
Well, hell no, he's lost a lot of money.
So
yeah, it's money lost right there, you know.
Yeah, but they'll learn from it, and he'll be a better business person moving forward from it.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, we're not in ADE, we're not in AEW, right? We don't know what goes on, but I understand what both of you are saying, and I agree with some of both of your points. And I see, even from the press conferences, that Tony can be light on the guys. And I think what Jason was saying was that, like, sometimes if you're not stern enough, people will cross those bounds.
Absolutely.
I think that is what your point was, and I get where Big Guy's coming from as well. You don't know the whole story, you know?
And that's been mentioned. I've heard other people talk about that, and people like Punk will take advantage of nice guys.
Exactly.
And I do think that, but I think from Tony, he has learned, he learned a valuable lesson in this, probably. And that he does have to put his foot down in more direct ways. And I think, though, it's like
Vince party with his people too, right? He did, but when he had to get his business hat on, I'm sure he got his business hat on.
But here's the other thing. Vince, in his early promoter days, Vince wasn't being scrutinized for every decision because nobody knew what was going on, because there was no social media.
There was no dirt sheets.
Yeah. There weren't people putting out unfortunately, like, Tony's learning on the fly with this, and everything's being scrutinized. He's being compared to Vince McMahon, who is, by all accounts, the most successful wrestling promoter in the history of the business. Yeah. So everybody is unfairly, you know, because Tony and them have money and that. But, like, my thing is that we should be pulling for him. He's going to make mistakes. He's clearly learning from them on different ones. And nobody's perfect with any of this, like, he's very early on into his pro wrestling promoter days. I would tell you, I think he's more successful than Vince early on, but both of them had money. Both of them had certain things already in place for them with it. But I just think, you know, he's taking on everything in a very big stage in this day and age with social media. And that's not taking anything away from Vince's early days. I just think it's even tougher now with all the pressure and all the cameras. And I think he's doing it to the best of his ability. But my thing is this. The thing is he loves wrestlers. He respects wrestlers with it. I think he does need to, like, with that, know when to put his foot down and be stern. But I would rather have a guy that loves and respects wrestlers than a guy who doesn't. And that's what exactly is the other side of that. On that.
There's pros and cons to that. There is. Because the pros is, you know, what you just said, and there's cons as well, because, you know, the business can always be shaky.
But right? the thing is he just, you get, you, when you have people like Phil that come in and that you get rid of them with that, or you're going to learn what to see with that, where he's not going to make those same mistakes again, hopefully, on that, with it. And again, learn to, you know, maybe have some boundaries on certain things. And most of the people, though, good people respect, like, I'm respectful of all people on that. Like, with it's a different, we have certain people that are just more cutthroat, more sharks. Phil is one of those sharks where he will make up lies. He's very manipulative. He likes to create drama and controversy. So, like, he's not necessarily a good fit for that environment. He's not a good fit for any environment, quite frankly, with it. So, but and that sucks, because he can be beneficial from a talent standpoint. But in this day and age, if you're causing that much problems in the locker room and disruption and just overall killing the mood of the environment, it's not worth it. It's not. And like I told you, like WWE, like, I'd be shocked. They've got their main players now, like that. If you think Punk is like going to go to WWE and take like a role of being a supporting actor, I think he's going to stay out. So, but I get what you're saying too, and that, and Shawnee brought up good points on that. But I just think I'm pulling for him, because it's the guy loves wrestling, and I think has respect for wrestlers, as opposed to the other guy who doesn't.
I completely agree. Yeah. Yes.
Right. My bottom thing about this whole conversation was I think he could have kept him if he just would have nicked this in the ass on that first encounter.
But I don't think you don't understand Phil. It's not that easy.
Yeah, but he didn't do that in WWE. He wasn't doing it on multiple occasions.
Bro, the guy literally tried to destroy my entire career with lies. I've seen him destroy guys backstage verbally with that because of his political power. Like, I'm telling you guys, he's an absolute monster with it, but he's not
a good human.
No, yeah, that's exactly the best way to put it. Like, you guys are caught up in the Bill Cosby character. You're caught up on the role that you see on TV, and you don't understand the monster that you're dealing with. The guy literally went up to the Shield and told them, he went up to the Shield when I'd already known the Shield from developmental, that I was going to go and no sell him, and I was going to be very difficult to work with and try to hurt them in this. And they literally all knew me already and knew they all three will testify to that. Ambrose already has come out and talked about it, like, and calls me a sweetheart, a sweet human being, like, with that. That's the kind of person that Phil is, though. He will go create drama somewhere because he thrives in that environment.
Yeah. If he goes to Impact, Jay, or wherever he goes, or wherever he wrestles, it's going to happen. It could be God running the promotion.
Yeah. He's going to find something to be unhappy about. He's going to find something to cry and complain about and be unhappy.
But listen, the thing is, he's not going anywhere but below. You understand? So every promotion below now, whatever he's going to go to, will not be nearly as much as Vince's power. He's not going to pull that shit in WWE. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why
he did, though.
But he did. He did it there all the time. He just, they gave him, he got into a position of power where he got Vince's ear, and he worked Vince, essentially. But then they're not going to let that ever happen again. And, like, if they ever took him back with that, it's going to be, his role is not going to be, like, the moment something starts again. Like, I just don't think the guys there that would, like, the Shield, all Roman and Seth, they witnessed it. They were all part of, they know what he does. Like, that's why they're not going to deal with it again. Like, because now they're in the positions of power, and they're not going to give that role back to him. Like, the guy walked out on everybody, and then he left wrestling entirely to go try to do another thing. And then when that didn't work out, and then the money was running dry, I love wrestling again. And that's the truth of it. But nobody wants to listen to this, and you guys are all swerved by the character on it, man. I just think he'll pop a rating on the initial thing on it, and that's going to be it. Everything's going to remain the same, and then you're going to get all the baggage that comes with it.
Right.
But I get it. I understand why you guys, he's played cool roles on TV. He's got to say cool things on TV with it. But, like, there's so much more than just that.
No, I personally never even, honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, I never even cared about it.
Yeah.
And not in UFC or WWE. And when he came to AEW, he got such a big splash.
If you cared about him in UFC, I would question the kind of fighters you like.
No, I didn't care for him in UFC.
No,
I don't.
He knows what you said, Jay.
Yeah, no, I'm just taking an unnecessary shot at him again.
I'm a huge UFC fan, but I never fucking watched it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just take little shots here and there just until he apologizes to me. Until he apologizes or fights me, one or the other.
I wouldn't want to fight you, man.
No, not you. I'm saying Phil.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I'm not calling you out for a fight, Jason. I was saying I'll just take little shots at Punk until he apologizes or fights me. One
My
or the other.
What about the big guy and Punk is that the big guy named his sleeping aid GTS.
And trademarked it, by the way.
Yes. Oh, you trademarked
it? Oh, yeah, trademarked. Yeah. I've got the paperwork. If me and Punk could hatch this whole thing out, we could make some serious money. Phil, if you don't want to fight anymore, brother, we could come out with an agreement here and get a commercial for that GTS sleep aid.
Yep.
Show a clip of the UFC fight with him sleeping afterwards and that.
Phil,
and then
you versus the big guy for his first match, and we'll put the GTS trademark on the line.
The commercial is going to be me knocking out Phil and putting him to sleep, and then just GTS go to sleep, feed me more nutrition. Just a little smile with it. I'll pay him really well to get him to act the knockout part and to film it.
You know what, man? I gotta get back in here, man.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It was awesome talking to both of you guys, man. It was really cool.
Have a great day, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, you too, guys. Take care.
Good deal.
I understood what he was saying, yeah. That guy, because Tony is like, I know Tony's a nice guy, and I'm a nice guy, and you're a nice guy, and I think sometimes when you're a nice guy, and I know this, like, for a fact, because I've been through it, people try to take advantage of you, yes. And they try to step that line, and they look at kindness as a weakness, and I used to, like, sit to myself and be like, why do people try to, like, mess with me, like, because I've always had to, like, prove myself more, and I felt, than other people, because I was kind, like, even yeah. though I was bigger, I was always kind, and people try to step those boundaries.
There are certain people, like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, big guy, and it's like, I used to think, like, everyone says kindness is a weakness. No, kindness can be somebody's biggest strength, but you teach people how to treat you.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
You just got to, it's knowing when to speak up for yourself, respect and disrespect, and just, like, clarifying that sometimes people are so nice, they don't say anything, and then people just can walk all over them. And that's what, like, yeah. the Keeping It 100 podcast with Disco and Conan, who I love those guys. Very knowledgeable. They were talking about that, how, like, in Disco, they were talking about if Tony and being a nice guy, someone like Punk, they see that, they'll take advantage of that all day long. With that, yeah, because he absolutely. Knew he was a fan of his, and he knew he gave him the world. He gave him essentially gave him his power back, right, in the world of pro wrestling after everything. Yep. And then we saw how that played out. So
he would be grateful, right? Like, a normal person would have been grateful, yes. for the opportunity.
Punk wanted more and more and more, and wanted to get this, like, and he's very manipulative. What he will do is he'll take a calm, peaceful environment and then cause chaos.
Yes.
That's his is his normal. Is yes, yes. From his childhood on, his life has been chaos with 100% it. And so this right. is it, all the doc, that's the Dr. Phil of the situation with
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so you
yeah.
could literally put him in a wall. And he could say, what color would you like this room? And he's like, I would like the room. I would like it all gray. And then he'll get in that room and he's like, hey, this is,
I hate gray.
God, why isn't this white? And then he would start, yeah, I can't say what I was going to say. Yeah. He'll just start complaining. Like, you're like, you said you wanted gray. Well, I wanted white. And then it's just like the way that he is. So,
but, okay. But yeah, like I agree with what you said, big guy. And that's it. And then Tony, anybody who dislikes Tony, just so you know, like, Tony has done magical, wonderful things for this business. Like, I can't even explain it to people. Like, look at back in the days, and I'll end it here. But when Vince was starting everything with the, you know, having, you know, all the territories and stealing everybody from the territories,
yeah.
right? Like, he was picking from the litter. He had his choice of people to say, hey, I'll pay you this much. And he was the only big promotion that wasn't in a town, right? So he was like...
Uh-oh, Shawnee. Oh, you might have got a call, maybe.
Oh, can you hear me,
Big guy? I can hear you now, yeah.
Sorry, but he told everybody, like Hogan and all those guys that were big in their territory, I will give you national publicity. Right now, Tony's fighting against all these promotions, which is a beautiful thing for wrestling, yeah. right? But, like, it's way harder now than it was back then, because Vince was just saying, hey, I'm the only big guy yeah. up here. You want to join me or I'll crush you?
Somebody said, too, in the chat, they go, imagine Tony asking wrestlers to kiss his behind on national television. Tony clearly is a better person. And I will say, though, can you imagine? I still think I wish Tony, and I've been told he doesn't want to be like an on-screen character and like doesn't want to bring real-life controversy onto TV. But I think a Tony Khan heel character. Can you imagine just Tony out there just making people kiss his ass? The Tony Khan Kiss My Ass Club.
Tony
Punk, he takes him back, but Punk has Rick, Phil has to kiss Tony's behind in the ring live on TV. Brother, do you know what the ratings would be on that segment? Give Punk the money, let bring him back, and you're gonna kiss my ass on TV.
Big guy, I gotta let you go, but thank all right, you brother. Me on as always, man.
Likewise,
I appreciate you and. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, okay?
You too. Thank you for making the time today. I appreciate it, Shawnee.
All right.
Take care.
Always, man. Always. Bye.
Good deal. Oh, man. I really would like Tony to be a character on TV. I really think it could be. I think there's with everything going on. I think the ratings, I think their ratings, I think he could be their biggest ratings draw of improving their ratings if he was a regular on-screen character. Heel Tony Khan. Oh my God. There's so much you could do. I with his look and the way he talks, he could get heat with it. Oh man. Almost too playing an innocent, like he doesn't under, but he just, you could just do saying certain things to rub people the wrong way with it. Oh man, that would be, I think that could do, have a positive impact on the business overall, but he has a lot going on. That would be a whole, that's not easy doing that. Nor if he doesn't have the belief, you know, that he to do real life stuff on TV, you know, that's his choice on that. But I do think that's primarily historically where the biggest money has always been also. So maybe at some point he changes his mindset on that. I don't know. We'll end today's show with a nice little joke from Jose Lopez. Why did the queen go to the dentist? And the answer is to get her teeth crowned. Good deal. With that, guys, we're going to wrap up today's show. We've got to get a lot done here. And I'm actually taking the week off of weights, letting my body, I've got this shoulder, we've made significant progress. And every 3-4 months, I take a week off of training. Now I'm still doing my cardio and sauna, so a lot of conditioning as I'm cutting with everything, but letting my body rest, and got a lot of work to do on the shoulder here with everything. So guys, I hope you have a great day. Check out my Feed Me More Nutrition over on feedmemore.com to show your love and support, and sign up for my email and text message program to get 15% off your order. Also, you get a free shaker bottle and tub of my Finish It BCAA Electrolyte Matrix right now, the raspberry lemonade flavor. Just it'll pop up on when you add items to your cart. Select it as your free gift, and it is yours absolutely free with your orders right now. I hope you guys have a great day. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more.
Hey, Ridebackers, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe, and shell shock those notifications for the best supplements on the planet with Feed Me More Nutrition and all the latest cool new Ryback merch. Visit feedmemore.com.